Well, good morning still, or is it good afternoon?
Because I lost track. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Well, thank you for. Before we start, I need to ask you whether it's okay for you to have these meetings, because we have these meetings usually live, screened live on internet. And if that's okay for you, we'll have it screened live. If there's any problem with that, we can stop it. But good. So it's going to be screened live on internet now. I welcome the minister, of course, or the parliamentary secretary, Honoré Bonici, and Dr. Greg, and Dr. Friend of the Mac, and of course yourself. How do you pronounce your name? Jean Schroeder. Okay, well. Thank you very much for coming to this. The topic we're discussing today is, of course, a very important topic for us, and something which will need discussion not just today, but further discussion, I believe, not just in this committee, but also in the House of Representatives itself. But today, as I believe we're all agreed, is that we're going to have more or less an informal and an information session and maybe a discussion session, because that will help us in deciding, one, whether this is allowed by the aspect of subsidiarity, and also how this is going to affect the Maltese legal system and the constitution itself, I think. To start with, I would like to ask the parliamentary secretary maybe to give us an introduction, and then maybe we can hear from your good self, please.
First of all, thank you, Mr. Fern, for accepting my request to convene a meeting of this Foreign European Affairs Committee in order for this committee to be able to meet with the European Commission, which is here being represented by Alexandra, to discuss a very important proposal regarding the European Public Prosecutor's Office. This committee is made up of representatives from the government side, which is this side, and the opposition side, which I welcome also the Honourable Carmelo Mesut Bonici, whom I thank for coming over as well. The idea of the Commission is to implement an office which is already part of the treaty, which is the European Public Prosecutor's Office. So we will not be discussing whether we need one, because it's already in the treaty, but how best to implement this office, the creation of an office, with full respect to the need of the European Union to have her mind at rest, that insofar as European money is concerned, if a breach of the law subsists afterwards, there is enough procedures which are being followed. But at the same time, the national parliaments must make sure that those proposals are hand in hand with what is provided in our constitution and our legal setup as a whole. We've already had a discussion beforehand from the government side with Alexandra, who was very, very kind to give us all the replies we needed. We're still at a very early stage. So this is the time to make all the questions. Maybe Alexandra would very kindly give us a very short overview of what the European Commission has in mind, and then the members of the committee can ask as many questions as they would like to ask. However, the government has already made it clear that it is in favor of making this office work insofar as making sure that the functions of the public prosecutor, which in Malta is the function is enshrined in the office of the Attorney General, would not be manomated in the sense that we would rather prefer a cooperative approach, as espoused by France and Germany, rather than a supra-European office which would have the power to prosecute competences which till this very day are dealt with by the Attorney General's office. So basically that's it. I would leave. Like
thank you very much, Honorable Bonici. If you're kind enough to give us an overview of what the proposal entails and how, and then maybe the Attorney General can even explain how this will affect the Maltese legal system.
Yes, thank you very much. And first of all, I would like to express my gratitude for the opportunity to meet with your very important committee of the Maltese Parliament. We very much appreciate this possibility, and it's more than a possibility. It's really a very excellent opportunity for us to engage in a discussion with you at a quite still early stage, as it was just pointed out, in order to discuss a very important and at the same time also a quite ambitious project in the area of EU criminal law in order to address a serious problem that concerns all member states and where the Commission thought the time has come to address this also by EU legislation. As I said, I would like to use this opportunity today to give you some introductory words about why this project has now been put into a legislative initiative by the European Commission, and what are, in our view, the issues that need to be addressed, what are the guiding principles of this proposal, and what are the main elements, without going perhaps in all the nitty-gritty details of 70 articles. And of course, I would also like to appreciate your first views. We are still starting in negotiations. There will be certainly also developments in the months to come. And of course, I also understand that there is still room for you or a need for you to assess this further. The Commission has formally adopted its proposal on the 17th July, so just before the summer holidays. And I think now the moment has come to look into it into more detail. I was also very happy to have the opportunity this morning to discuss the main elements already with the Ministry of Justice, also very much appreciated. We have concluded that we agree on some points and not fully agree on others, but I think this is also the normal process in EU decision-making. Let me first start to give you some elements why this proposal has been done. European Public Prosecutor's Office, together with the reform of Eurojust. It's a package. Both proposals aim indeed to increasing our capacity to fight better fraud in the EU against the Union's financial interest, and that in the end means to better protect the European taxpayers' money, since that's where the money comes from. It is unfortunately a sad fact that more and more fraudsters or international organized crime gangs are still taking advantage of the somewhat different legal systems throughout the EU member states, and also they're often confronted with limited jurisdictions, lack of resources, and the inability to gather evidence in cross-border cases. Of course, we have a number of mutual assistance instruments that work to some extent, but often they are still time-consuming, cumbersome, and not always as efficient as they should possibly be. According to the facts and figures the Commission has in its pocket or has collected over the last years, the dimension of fraud against the EU budget is quite still dramatic. We have taken as a starting point figures that member states give to the anti-fraud office, so we rely first of all on these figures, and there we can see that on average there are about 500 million of suspected EU fraud each year. Compared to the overall budget, that may not be in the case of high dimensions, but 500 million per year. I mean, if you have to explain this to the European taxpayer, I think this is this is hardly to explain. And of course, we all know that fraud is something that has a lot of gray zone. Some things may not be detected, so we guess that the real amount of fraud is even significantly higher than the 500 million per year. Yeah, exactly. That's the fraud that has been caught, that has been subject to criminal investigation, prosecutions, but it is very difficult to say how much this is. You know how difficult it is to give figures, but even with careful estimation, we would say it's certainly over one billion per year. It is not the fact that there is nothing that happens today at EU level. This is not the message we want to give with the new proposal. There are already EU bodies as Eurojust, you know that very well, Donatella, or Europol and Olaf in place, but they have all, let's say, some difficulties that are legally grounded to conduct a criminal investigation in this rather specific area. Olaf's competences is limited to administrative proceedings, and Eurojust or Europol have the mandate to assist and to coordinate member state criminal investigations. What we envisage with the creation of a European Public Prosecutor's Office is to set up an office that has the genuine power to investigate, prosecute, and bring to judgment fraud and other related crimes affecting the EU's financial interests across the EU. Given the dimension of the problem, we indeed think that the time has come to do so. As it was rightly said, the European Treaty provides for a legal basis to setting up the office. Therefore, in our view, it's not the question of yes or no to set it up, but indeed how to set it up. And this is what the Commission has tried to do with the proposal that, of course, is a proposal to engage then with the member states in order to get the best way to do that. Let me first give you, let's say, some of our overall features the European Commission considers such an office should have. In our view, such an office should be independent, decentralized, efficient, accountable to the European Parliament, and of course it should also not be too costly. This is also quite important in the times of still economic difficulties. So the idea is not now to set up a completely new structure at EU level, staff it with many hundreds of people, and to start something completely new. We consider it very important to find a right balance between an office that pursues EU interests, but that is at the same time very closely embedded in the national legal systems. Otherwise, we also fear that such an office has difficulties to work together with the law enforcement authorities, the customs authorities, the tax authorities, that all have a very important role to play in the fight against fraud. And as you will certainly also know, this is often a very complex matter since it happens on the expenditure side, the revenue side, complicated rules on giving subsidies to projects or collecting revenues to the EU budget, so there also needs to be a certain expertise. What the Commission has done to, let's say, to address all these different main policy objectives is to create a specific structure. I will come to this in a few seconds. And also to create a sort of catalogue of instruments such an office needs to have. At the same time, we thought it absolutely crucial to create with the establishment of investigative powers also the necessary procedural safeguards for suspects and victims, because we would speak about, say, a judicial authority with investigative and prosecutorial powers. The proposal also had to take care about the judicial control, about these mechanisms, and of course there are quite a number of other issues in it as regards the data protection regime of such an office. I mean, you know this now from all the discussions we have on data protection high on the agenda, that there is, of course, concern that this is all done well. We have also to take into account of a requirement of the treaty that speaks in Article 86 from the fact that the office should be created from Eurojust. I can also tell you this has been a lot of, say, starting point of discussions how to do this and how to create indeed best synergies between a new office and Eurojust that is for us a very valuable actor to fight fraud and to coordinate among the member states. Let me first perhaps start a bit to the structure because I understand this is also quite a concern perhaps for Malta, and this is a bit the ground we will build on to create such an office. The Commission's proposal foresees a quite peculiar structure, indeed, to combine these two objectives, that we would like to have something that is embedded in the national system, but nevertheless gives the office the necessary power and also the EU added value that is needed to pursue the objectives to improve the situation as it is for the moment. Therefore, we have created a two double structure, I would say, that starts in the member states, where we consider that the investigative groundwork, the prosecutions, would be done by so-called European delegated prosecutors that are at the same time national prosecutors, but also get a function as European prosecutors. They will be appointed by and based in each member state, but at the same time they would become a sort of integral part of the European Public Prosecutor's Office. So they would, what we call it, wear a double hat, maintaining their positions as national prosecutors, but at the same time exercise the functions of a European Public Prosecutor's Office to fight fraud in their respective member states, gathering their evidence, prosecuting and acting before the competent courts. This will also have the advantage that they can, of course, cooperate closely with national staff and also apply national rules. So fully embedded in the national legal systems and also the traditions they are familiar with. As regards the number of these European delegated prosecutors, the regulation simply says that there should be one European delegated prosecutor by member state at least. So it would very much depend on, let's say, the structure, how big a member state is, what is the necessity in each individual case, if it's one or more. The second element, which is in the Commission proposal, is the creation of a central office that would combine a European prosecutor, either he or she, with four deputies, and this person would lead overall and head the European Public Prosecution's Office, being responsible in the end for the decision whether a case that is investigated and prosecuted should be dismissed or brought to judgment. Why have we created this kind of central office? First, we think that we have to create a mechanism that shows the EU interest, that gives priority to the problem that we face now, that often these cases to fight fraud are, let's say, perhaps not seen as priority cases stemming from the purely national interest. And we have the treaty that says we have to create a union office in order exactly to tackle this issue. Our proposal is also done in view to create independence. I understand that independence is also a big issue for Malta, and there we think we have many things to discuss. Our concern is mainly that if you have a European delegated prosecutor who is both, who has a double hat, there needs to be a mechanism to make sure that this person remains independent in his or her functions as a European public prosecutor, since there is a very close link still with the national system. And there may also be somehow some unduly influence, especially in sensitive cases, where the question about how EU money has been spent is at stake. We also think it's necessary to have a sort of coordination mechanism where all the information about cases in Europe comes together, since it's often not only purely national cases, it's very often cross-border cases. These are the ones that are really causing problems, where it is still often the case that there are parallel investigations ongoing and there is not the necessary link to give the information together. That would also be tackled by the creation of a central office. This is a central database where every case would have to be registered, so to have the full overview and also to allow the central office to coordinate, if necessary, the investigations and say, okay, here indeed we have a case in this country, but there's also some investigation ongoing in another country, so please liaise and work together. That's the reason for the creation of a central office that should frame the work of the European delegated prosecutors working in the member states to give it a sort of a structure. So this is the proposal of the Commission, at least in a very basic way, how the European Public Prosecutor's Office should look like. And I think this is certainly one of the major issues one will have to discuss. If you perhaps allow me a few words on, say, the mechanisms, the powers and other elements of the proposal, since the structure is certainly important, but it's not the only issue. The second element we consider important is to set up a list of investigative measures this European Public Prosecutor's Office is empowered to take. Here again, the Commission had to do a choice how to do this, starting from, let's say, a very extreme, that we would create a complete European system, a sort of European criminal procedural codes, defining in detail all the investigative measures such a body could take, starting, let's say, from house search, telephone tapping, all these issues prosecution service has to have in hand, from leaving it to a purely national application. What you find in the proposal is a bit a middle way, although I would say the national element is a bit more predominant. The proposal foresees a catalogue of investigative measures this office can take, or the European delegated prosecutors can take, but we leave the details to national law. So depending on where the investigation takes place, the national law that is already in place will apply. In order to remedy the fact that in the end, the case will be brought to one court, so there will be the trial court who will then have to collect the prosecutor will have to collect all the information, and we will have the situation that there is information gathered in one member state and in the other, so it's brought together under different legal regimes. The court has the obligation to take all this evidence as admissible. This is a very important mirror provision in the proposal that about the admissibility of evidence, so everything that has been gathered under the European Public Prosecutor's Office, even different member states, will have to be accepted as admissible, of course, by the trial court. There are only very few exceptions that in case this really would, certain collection of evidence would endanger a fair trial. Otherwise, it's a sort of mutual recognition system that has been created. Again, here, we think that there is already a useful European element in it to define a common catalogue of measures, while, again, this is also for us a very important aspect of subsidiarity in the way it is implemented. This is left to the member states and to the national legal system in place. As I said, it is necessary to combine the investigative, the repressive measures prosecution service, of course, needs, also with the sufficient legal protection of persons involved in the investigations and prosecutions. And the proposal therefore contains also quite ambitious rules to ensure sound and equal legal protection. There's sometimes a recourse to EU-wide rules that are still, I would say, quite new, and you will certainly also know them. That's concerning the right to interpretation, translation, the right to information and access to case materials, the right of access to a lawyer, and a couple of other rights that ensure a fair trial. Here again, what is already regulated at EU level under EU instruments will be applicable, and if there is no EU legislation in place, it will also again be for the national law where the trial takes place. We consider this as a good balance of investigative measures and the necessary legal safeguards. Perhaps a few words on judicial review. You may have, of course, the case that investigations that have been taken by the EPPO will be challenged as perhaps too intrusive, not proportionate, against fundamental rights, and have to be brought to court. The question was, which court? Is it the Court of Justice, since the EPPO, of course, is an EU body, even if it's very much relying on national elements, or should it be the national court? The proposal has now going for an option to give this control to national courts, which is quite, I would say, innovative, since it is would be that action taken by an EU body will be judged by national courts, so let's say whether a house search was correct. However, we consider this is the right way to go, since there is this big influence of national law and the application of national law. So we found that the European Court of Justice is not the right court to do this work. Maybe I don't want to go too much into the details about the appointing authorities. It's nevertheless also quite important in order to ensure, in the end, the independence of the staff working in this office. But I think this is perhaps not so important for now. Maybe one last but nevertheless very important point on the material scope, not to create misunderstandings from the very beginning. The offenses this office would have to look after is fraud and some related offenses, as they are now under discussion, let's say, in another EU legal instrument, which is the Directive on the Protection of the EU Financial Interest. There is still some discussion about, let's say, which kind of offences are considered as fraud. Of course, a classical fraud, you declare something which is not correct. The other element would be money laundering in connection. So you launder money you have gained from fraud activities. And if there is also, let's say, a close link of corruption, but only in the management of EU funds, that would also fall under this. There's another, let's say, quite sensitive point, what happens with other offences, because you often may have the case that a criminal organisation is not just active in fraudulent activities, but in other organised crime. The treaty is very clear on that, because it says that it's against the EU financial interest, and an enlargement to other serious forms of crime can only be done after a unanimous decision of the heads of state and government, which is not there, and I don't expect it to come very quickly. But what we have also done in this proposal is to look into offences that are, as we call it, inextricably linked to fraud offences. Because you may indeed have a case where you have a fraud, but there's also falsification of a document, in order not to be confronted with a situation that in the end it goes, one goes to the European Prosecution Office and the other one would have to be dealt with by a national prosecution service. This is certainly also something we have to discuss very thoroughly with the member states to avoid that there is any circumvention of the treaty. I can only ensure this committee here that this is not what the Commission intends, but in order to find a practical solution for these kind of cases. Last point from Eurojust, Donatella, what does that mean? For us, it means, first of all, a close practical cooperation with Eurojust and with this new structure, since Eurojust is already well equipped. It has a good functioning case management system. It has an IT structure that has been implemented over years and works well, and we think it would be good to use this also for the European Public Prosecution Office, while, of course, let's say the casework would, of course, be separated. And there may also be not only, let's say, the purely logistical issues, but also in terms of coordination, if it comes to a case where you have fraud and other offences, that you would just place an important coordination role also in these more complex cases. So that was, I must say, in a nutshell, the main elements of the proposal.
Thank you very much. Before we go to Dr. Grech, I think we have to ask some questions, because you've raised some points which I myself, of course, there's no doubt that fraud on a national and on a European level has to be fought vigorously, and nobody's debating that. But I have some, I don't know whether they're questions or concerns, which I'd like to hear your views about. In the first instance, if I'm understanding correctly, the EPPO will have the competence to intercept telecommunications, emails, and phone conversations, which concerns me because I'm not clear on whose authority. And also, the EPPO will have the competence to search premises, private property, computer systems. Again, I'm still unclear as to at what level this can happen. Another question which I have is that, of course, in any judicial system, people are assumed innocent until proven guilty. And my question is, there's this big, or you are proposing this big European office, this giant on the prosecuting side. Are you proposing a framework for the defense lawyers? You mentioned accessibility of evidence, cross-border accessibility of evidence. How is this going to allow the citizen to have a proper defense? I'd like to hear the comments yourself. And maybe before you answer, maybe there are other questions from the other members of the committee, and we'll take them now, and then you can answer collectively. Mr. Dr. De Battista.
Who will be paying for it, and what will be the cost per year? And where would the central office be established?
Maybe I start with the first questions and your question about the investigative powers and what are the powers of the office to, let's say, do house search and telephone tapping. Indeed, the regulation contains a catalogue of measures that are investigative measures, including those you have mentioned, that would be executed by the European delegated prosecutors at first instance based on the national procedural rules in the country where these measures take place. So if you would have it in Malta, the Maltese Criminal Procedural Code would apply in order to, I mean, with all the necessary details, how you can do a telephone tapping, what I'd say are the hours where you can do a house search. What is still new is that for the most intrusive measures, and the ones you have just mentioned are among them, the European delegated prosecutor would have a prior judicial authorization. This is mostly the case in the majority of member states, but not everywhere. And we concede also as a sort of element to put a higher, say, judicial control into the activities such an office will take in order to indeed give the necessary safeguards. There's, of course, it's natural, but nevertheless, we have stated it very clearly here that, of course, the principle of proportionality applies also in terms of when these measures can be executed, and of course they should be executed as a last resort, and if there are no other measures available, that would be less intrusive. But again, there is not a revolution in terms of that the rules on telephone tapping that of course are seen is sensitive would now have to be completely reversed. What exists already now is applicable, and the idea of admissibility of evidence is a rather logical consequence of this, because if, let's say, you have an investigation into member states but you need to do a house search, you have the focus in member state A and you need to do a house search in member state B, and then the case goes to a court in country A, you have to have a mechanism that the evidence collected in country B is also admissible. That is the overall objective behind this concept. Your second, of course, very legitimate concern is there an imbalance between the office? It's certainly not a giant one, but of course it's binding forces and the rights of suspect. We have tried with this proposal to create not just a balance, but also to give very strong protection to suspects, but also to, let's say, other people involved, as I mean, there may be also victims involved in the execution of the powers of the office. I would even say that what is now in the proposal, this is chapter 4 of the proposal, is going a step further than what exists already. It's a combination of, say, measures that are already subject to EU law in order to enhance procedural safeguards, but there is also a sort of catalogue imposing on member states that there has to be a system of, let's say, to give legal aid without going into the details how this has to be done. So in our view, this is indeed absolutely necessity to create a balance between powers and rights, and this has been foreseen in the proposal in a way we consider it adequate. Your question, indeed, what does it cost? Our vice president has given us the instruction to do something with zero costs. I'm not 100% sure whether we have reached this objective with the proposal, but it's certainly, as it looks now, a very cost-efficient mechanism. And let me perhaps say in a few sentences why. First of all, the system that would create a scenario where the main work is done at national level means, of course, no big costs for the EU budget. When you have the prosecutor already there, there may be a little bit a shift of, let's say, workload, because a prosecutor who is working also on other cases but is at the same time an EPO member would have to devote more time on these cases. But, okay, this person would remain under the same salary regime as it is now, with, indeed, a sort of little top-up per month in order to give also incentive to do these cases. This is, in the end, a little bit what would come on an extra cost to the EU budget. Let's assume that in the end we have in the EU 20, 30 European delegated prosecutors. That would be extra costs, but I don't think it's such a big issue. The central office, what we envisage, of course, is that a lot of, let's say, supportive staff that would need to be there to prepare also the work of the central office would come from OLAF. As OLAF, we lose many competences in its work, because the fact that administrative investigations are done by OLAF will completely cease. This will go immediately to the EPPO. There is no need to keep all these people in OLAF. So what is foreseen is a transfer of OLAF personnel to the EPPO office with zero cost, because they are already paid. So all in all, we consider we can use the technical database of Eurojust, so there will also not be a costly setup of a new IT system. It will be quite cheap.
Yes, if you allow me. There is no European criminal law. So each and every country has its own criminal code, and both substantive and procedurally, we have all our own systems. So, with regards to this lack of uniformity, how will it be ensured that in each and every member state there will not be incongruencies, disparities? How will you ensure not uniformity, but at least a measure of, you know, how things are done in each and every country, so that there are not discriminations with regards to even the punishments inflicted, for example, and even how a suspect is being treated. For example, in one country you may have the basic safeguards, in other countries you may have more advanced safeguards, and in others very rudimentary and next to breach of human rights. Also, you were mentioning that with regards to judicial review, this will be left to the national courts, according to the relevant and relative legal systems. Is it only judicial review, or other cases which deal with the course of investigation? I mean, judicial review is something which is done after everything is concluded, sort of. But pending the investigation, what will be the position? Also, you rightly mentioned Eurojust. We have Europol and we have other cooperation mechanisms with other European member states and even internationally. So, can you please explain to me what will happen and how will this cooperation be affected with your double structure system you were mentioning? Because so far, I'm not saying that the system is perfect, because it's not. But so far we've had a measure of success with regards to Eurojust and Europol. So I'm quite a bit, you know, when we had a measure of success, it's like the proposal is saying or implying a lack of confidence, a lack of satisfactory levels reached. What is it?
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much for your questions. Regarding your first question, your first concern about, indeed, I mean, there is no criminal court, but you're creating a sort of European prosecution office. How does this go together? And I think, again, it's a bit perhaps in line what you said. Is there sufficient judicial safeguards? To be very clear, the proposal is not at all taking away any judicial safeguards that exist today in the EU member states. Everything that is part of the judicial safeguards, what has been put in the criminal code, is existing, will not be changed. I think the contrary is the case. What we would like to do with this is that everything what member states apply stays in place, will apply with regard to actions taken by the EPPO. But for those member states who do, for example, not yet foresee certain judicial safeguards, for example, legal aid is not always an issue in all member states, the proposal would even go a step further, saying you also have to create a system of legal aid without saying in detail how this should be done. Therefore, we fully share your concern that this should not be a step back in terms of what is already in place in the member states, also to protect the right of suspects and to guarantee a fair trial, of course. On your question on the judicial review, indeed, there may be various different timing scenarios where the question whether a measure is correct come into place. The proposal foresees the judicial review mechanism also with regard to pre-trial actions. So it's not only once a trial is there, but in the course of an investigation measure, if there is a concern that a measure has not been taken properly, is too intrusive, this could already be brought to court in order to the national court. Yeah. the National Court remains fully competent for all the different stages. The only possibility where the European Court of Justice would come in is if a national court has things, it's not very clear how to interpret the regulation in view to a preliminary ruling. Otherwise, everything would stay under national control, a national judicial control. Your question, Eurojust, Europol, and the EPPO, is this now creating turbulences? Is this somehow disturbing a system that is perhaps not perfect but works quite well? I mean, first of all, I think there we have to see that the mandate of a European Public Prosecutor's Office is much more narrow than what Eurojust and Europol are doing, since it is done for a very specific form of crime. As I tried to explain, it's an important concern, but it is a rather, let's say, specialized area. And there are other crimes as regard to organized criminal activities where Eurojust and Europol are the main actors, of course, with the member states, and where there is no interference. Nevertheless, we consider that also in this rather specific area, the fight against fraud, the triangle, the EPPO, Eurojust, and Europol has an added value, and there have to be mechanisms that they work together. The proposal in this respect foresees a number of, general principles. It gives a clear political message that there needs to be a strong cooperation without, going too much into the details. But this would not mean that this is left in the dark, but that in the end would also probably be subject of a sort of cooperation agreement between the European Public Prosecutor's Office and Eurojust or Europol, which is not yet part of this basic regulation. But the legal basis is there, and the concern that there is the sufficient cooperation is very much shared by us in order to not to disturb something that works well.
Well, thank you very much. I think now we'll have Dr. Grech. I don't know whether Dr. Frendodemek would like to leave Dr. Grech then, across the perspective from the Attorney General.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, this proposal with regard to the European Public Prosecutor's Office raises a number of issues in our internal, in our domestic legal system, as I suppose that it also raises in the domestic legal systems of other states. With us, the main issue, I think, is with Article 91 of the Constitution, which establishes the office of the Attorney General, which states that the Attorney General performs the functions of a public prosecutor. And then it also includes provision to the effect that in deciding whether to institute or continue or to discontinue a criminal prosecution, the Attorney General shall not be subject to the direction or control of any other person or authority. So this article really establishes the principle of independence of the prosecution in our constitution. And to reinforce that, the Attorney General is in fact also granted the same degree of security of tenure with regard to methods of removal, discipline, etc., as members of the judiciary. So, when this proposal will bring about a situation where a decision whether to institute or to discontinue proceedings will not be taken by the Attorney General, but by the European Public Prosecutor or somebody within that structure, this, of course, causes a problem of cohabitation between the proposed European law and our constitutional provision, which is also, incidentally, an entrenched constitutional provision requiring a two-thirds majority in Parliament to be changed. So that is one issue which I think this proposal will have to make us face. You know, to what extent can one alter the constitutional provision in question? Now, another question raised by this proposal with regard to our legal system is that the proposal adopts very much the what seems like the continental model of public prosecutor, where, for example, the public prosecutor would have extensive powers with regard to ordering the police to carry out a search, to tap a phone. The public prosecutor is very often hierarchically above the police and in charge of certain investigations. Now, as you know, we do not have that type of system in Malta. In Malta, the initial arraignment of a person and the starting of a prosecution is something, is a decision which is in the hands of the police, not in the hands of the Attorney General, of the public prosecutor. It is only in cases which are not summary cases, that is, which are exposed to more than 6 months imprisonment, that then the Attorney General takes ownership of the prosecution after it has started. So this proposal also affects, you know, the powers of the police, and you know, if one had to give a person within a prosecutor within the Attorney General's office the powers of the European public prosecutor under the proposal, then that person would also have certain powers over the police, and that is something new for us, because normally our relationship as an office of the Attorney General with the police is one of giving advice. It is not one of, you know, taking charge of ordering. So there again, one sees this as a bit of a revolutionary proposal within our legal system. Also, some investigative measures under our legal system might require judicial authorization, and therefore that you know, could sit well or could need some modification to our legal system in order to accommodate the proposal with regard to having a European public prosecutor. Now, I know that there are various, there's the proposal of the Commission, which is going to start being discussed in the coming weeks. There is also another French and German proposal to have a different organization, a different style with regard to European public prosecutor. But under both proposals, I think these issues which I have mentioned are to some extent relative, are to some extent relevant. So I think it is something which the Maltese government and the Maltese Parliament will have to deal with once this proposal matures within the European institutions.
Dr. Rick, thank you very much for this very clear exposition. I don't know whether there are any questions to you from the members of the committee. If not before you, maybe give us... If there's just one other question I would like to ask you, so that we can then wind up. What would be the democratic credentials of the prosecutor, of the public prosecutor? I mean, how is he answerable to the population, to the citizens on who he is... establishing authority.
Yes, thank you very much, and also thank you for you have very confident surrounded here are two prosecutors general, and of course, I mean, you raise a number of very, very important issues. As regards your first question, the independence, let me first stress that the guarantee of independence is something we have in common. We may disagree or may have to discuss the details, but the fact to create a prosecution service at EU level that needs to be independent is our same concern as you have that the prosecution service in Malta is independent. The crucial issue there is indeed how far, where is, let's say, the focus on the independence. Where I understand that the fact that there is a central office with, in the end, a decision-making mechanism is a problem for your constitution, as it would take away, let's say, the independence of the national level in these cases. Just very quickly, why have we gone for such a system with a central office? Because indeed we fear that there may be situations where a person who is at the same time a national prosecutor and the European public prosecutors might come under a difficult situation in terms of political influence when it comes to the fact should a case concerning the EU money be prosecuted or investigated or not. And as it is not only a national concern, but there is a European element in it, we consider it would be good to have also the EU element in it. We can certainly discuss, and that will happen, how this is in the end be done. Just to be clear, there is no formal German-French proposal. There is a Commission proposal, but there are some ideas of member states. That is also, of course, very much appreciated by us. It's an important question, and we are ready also to look into all scenarios that can be envisaged, but in the end are still workable and are not, let's say, a step forward. I mean, this is in the end what we want to achieve, that we have efficient prosecution, and there is certainly discussion needed how to best do that. Your second point is, of course, also an important one. What is the role of the prosecutor, taking into account that this is there are different systems in member states? I mean, this is, I'm not telling you a secret. I mean, doing EU legislation always has the challenge to create a European system that takes into account what exists, what is good, but also to see how a certain degree of harmonization we consider necessary can be done. You are right. I mean, the system is a bit more aligned to the continental system. I mean, we are in a very early stage on this, but I wouldn't see this as a fundamental problem in the end to come to something, let's say, with a mechanism that would still take care of the multi-system where the police has a stronger role. But one will have to see how this is, I mean, it is not so easy to say, but how this could be done in the end to achieve the same objective without completely reversing a system that exists and will also maintain, of course, for other crimes. But I take it with me, and certainly something to be looked into. While I don't have a perfect answer to this right now, and then you had also the point, there is this catalogue and some require judicial authorization. Yeah, I mean, as I said, it's a quite important point for us that we think that sometimes it's good to have measures also endorsed by a judicial authority. I mean, we'll have a lot of discussions on this, but it's a very strong point for the Commission to have this. And your point on, say, democratic control, accountability, I mean, as it is as a European body, it's first of all under the control of the European Parliament, which would be, let's say, the supervisory authority in terms of how this organization works, but of course not as regards the casework. And this is the independence. that we have the European public prosecutor, if he stays with the central system, is appointed by the European Parliament and the Council based on a shortlist prepared by the Commission. And the European delegated prosecutor, so the ones that are work in the member states, would be appointed by the European public prosecutors on the basis of proposals by the member states.
The proposal is qualified with
Well, this is, you know, the proposal. Yeah, then perhaps if this was something I also wanted to say, maybe then also to conclude, if you allow me. Article 86 foresees unanimity. Unanimity does not mean 28 member states, since member states that are already not taking part of this chapter, that is Denmark, are not counting. And the two countries that have the right to opt in, that is the United Kingdom and Ireland, if they opt in, they are of course part. If they do not opt in, they do not count. There is of course, if unanimity cannot be reached, and we are also well aware of the fact that it's not easy to reach, there is a possibility of what we call enhanced cooperation. That is a mechanism where, in the end, it is clear that unanimity cannot be reached. There can be a group of at least 9 member states that to go ahead. But let me be very clear on this. We think in order to make this in the end work, and we want to have it work, we want to fight crime, we want to fight fraud, we should have a system in place where the more member states we have are in, because otherwise the added value is perhaps a little bit limited. That is a difficult question. We are now starting the technical discussion with all the member states. There is a first Justice Council on the 7th of October, where the Justice Minister will attend to have a first general discussion. Well, this is not done overnight, but it should also not take us 10 years to set it up. I think there is a crucial moment will also be for the next presidency to get this going after, let's say, all positions are on the table and to see what is liked, what is perhaps something to be discussed. But my vice president said, and she did the press conference, she would like to have this in place by the 1st of January 2015. That's certainly ambitious, but perhaps not impossible. And if I just may, perhaps one question, if you can already tell me whether your committee is intend to send the Commission an opinion.
Well, as you point out, you've had a lot of information today. So this committee will need to digest what we've been hearing and reading, because we have lots of large documents to read. I'm sure we're going to have to bring in more experts to give us guidance on this, and we will discuss this again in a further meeting. So at this point, especially over the question of subsidiarity. So at this point, today we've considered this to be more of an information meeting rather than a decision-making meeting. So we will be discussing this further, and eventually we might, yes, have to give an RO a recent opinion on this. But this is it. We have to wait for further discussions within this committee, and possibly even within the House of Representatives itself, the Parliament itself. Well, Ms. Rochreuder, I thank you very much for your time today, and Dr. Gregg, and maybe Honourable Bonici would like to conclude briefly this item.
It will be very brief. Thank you very much. First of all, thank you for this committee to meet on this very important issue. Secondly, the government is intent to help as much as it can to fight fraud. So that is the first point which we need to keep in mind in this debate. Secondly, we are still in the beginning of this legislative proposal, so we believe that it is the time now to enter into this very important proposal, both from the part of the government and from the part of Parliament. Thirdly, we are speaking about the Constitution here, so that is why the government believes that we have to engage with the committee as much as possible due to the powers it has under the Lisbon Treaty. And I would really love to see the committee being proactive on this issue. The fourth point is that in the meetings we had, Alexander and myself, we've always stated that insofar as the independence of the prosecution in Malta, there is absolutely no concern from the part of the Commission, but what the Commission would like to do on a Europe-wide basis is to increase the efficiency of combating economic fraud. The final point is that in our meetings we have discussed other methods and avenues which may lead to the same result. So our discussions have always been on the lines that there might be other avenues which we can take which would lead to the same result. For instance, the strengthening of the issue of judicial review within the whole of Europe, so that if there is a decision whether to prosecute or not to prosecute, there can be this mechanism of judicial review. In Malta, we already have that mechanism which can be enforced and strengthened Europe-wide. This being said, I thank you very much. I will not take more of your time, but I really would like your committee to take a proactive part, as I'm sure you will be doing.
Thank you, Dr. Bonici. Thank all of you. We have some more business to attend, so if you don't mind, we'll ask you to...
Okay.
Thank you very much for
thank
your...
You. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Jina niproponi illi għajt għan komplu illi kanet nasib għaj uġon għu forse f'tumun għot ektablu jina nasib nħħjar nitolbu expert opinion fu għadi għiex dina bħemx dubju li għajm kwestjoni ta' subsidiarity fija ġifiri nitolbu expert opinion minnant li għil għal 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 ma mux ħajer konna legal advice independenti aħna taħna?
Taħna.
Jinek li kuna s-sef, x-taħsef kani?
U għabur diffiċla għafna, għajka, un daħna dupil bidu, u barra minn daħ jistajgu minn li daħ, billi jemlun għal-mita, ma jaslu għat.
Pero ħna rridu.
Ma taqbilx, jibqa ma jaddi xej.
Salaħħar ta' daċċar, rridu natu, reason to opinion. Salaħħar ta' ottubru, ta' 28 ottubru. Ċfirina kont ħani proponi, nitħolbu legal advice u għadi, jituna Għantu bħad neġinu diskutu għan
fl-għadek.
Jena, suġġeru li għu xaħat Peter, professur Peter Xwire.
Marru l-Università, n-abdu tal-Università.
Nessan n-diskutu għan fl-kassa, ma jektablu jena kifok n-proponi d-għaj fuq. Għallu bħad neġinu n-taqaw u jistajkun li jikonna bżon għan nasu għal-kamera li għan mux dinajja xaħġa
zaħjar.
Però saraħħa li daċċar li d-dina tu
n-ċan opinion tija jandat li l-istess reason opinion tal-gvern ġifiri jiena
proposta tal Parlamento Europeo. Basicamente, diciamo, il monitoraggio tra emissioni di carbon dioxide nel vapore, le cose, nel porto di Toli, Baro, Filippara, tal Maduallo Europa. Udena che una notifica menata dal Ministero, lista di conem, sulla sussidiarietà. Però, che la se fai spiegare a Kenneth, ma non c'è un'abbia bachao, ma è il medio, il bicciaccio, il medio, sulla sussidiarietà. O anyway, il deadline è di una digiala, però, tae che li discutiamo, o è che drena li è. Ksu, nistaw xorta nikdbu l-Commission kif għamilna f'okkażjonijiet imbagħdija.
Le, di bażikament hija l-inizjattiva li ddaħħal l-ETS, Emission Trading Scheme, kif hemm għall-avjazzjoni issa ddaħħalha għall-marittimu. Pożizzjoni tal-gvern li hija waħda konsistenti ma' kif kienet minn dejjem hi li ħadd tkun ta' detriment għall-industrija Ewropea kollha, bażikament, għax ħadd titfa' ċertu burdens fuq il-maritime industry Ewropea li mhux ħajkun hemm equal counterpart tagħhom fuq livell globali. Ovvjament għax ħajkollhom l-iskema ħad tkun within the EU. Issa il-Ministeru bagħtilna opinjoni motivata fejn qed jgħid li ħarat impattana hawnhekk naqblu jiġifieri, anke jiena ovvjament naqbel li pożizzjoni ġusta li ħad impatta l-industrija sija tal-Ewropa u mhux ta' Malta biss. Issa, però fuq grounds ta' sussidjarjetà minix ċert fuq kemm tidħol sussidjarjetà. Ġifieri inti tista' ma taqbilx ma' proposta, però ma tkunx kwistjoni ta' sussidjarjetà. Għaliex? Għax anke l-argument tal-Ministeru. L-argument tal-Ministeru mhux qed jgħidu bażikament li sussidjarjetà hi fejn għandha tisseħħ l-azzjoni. Issa huma mhux qed jgħidu m'għandix isseħħ mingħata tal-Unjoni Ewropea fuq livell ta' Unjoni Ewropea imma għandha seħħ unilaterali fuq livell nazzjonali, għax ovvjament impossibbli li tagħmel skema ta' suq ta' missjonijiet pajjiż wieħed, bil-forzi kull hemm pajjiż oħra. Issa li qed jingħata allura hu li m'għandix isseħħ fuq livell ta' Unjoni Ewropea biex isseħ fuq livell nazzjonali imma through l-IMO, jiġifieri fuq livell globali. Issa għalhekk ma nafx kemm tidħol fiha, għax ovvjament di mhijiex kompetenza kwistjoni ta' Unjoni Ewropea għax jisir fuq livell globali, l-iktar tista' bħala body wieħed taħdem għaliha. Però l-puntu fuq li ma jekk din il-proposta ta' Unjoni Ewropea għandha isseħ, fuq li ma livell għandha it should take place. Ovvjament, jekk naqblu mal proposta, nara li bil-fors fuq livell ta' Unjoni Ewropea. Issa jew ġibri titteċ ħadda u tgħid li ma m'għandniex ikun hemm ETS fl-Unjoni Ewropea li ma tibqax kwestjoni naħseb jien ta' subsidiarity, ma bażikament you are rejecting the whole proposal tgħid laqqas fuq livell nazzjonali m'għandha seħħ. Sempliċiment il-proposta m'għandix seħħ. Jiġifieri jien kieku jien personalment nissuġġerixxi li anke alla darba jfhemni kifet. Kif għal iċ-ċermen għadda żmien u anke ma kien hemm l-abta pajjiż ieħor, kien hemm pajjiżi li urew oġġezzjonijiet u ma wkoll ma tawx subsidiarity ma reportawx breach. Per eżempju, is-Senat tal-Repubblika tal-Polonja wkoll tefgħu il-kummenti tagħhom però ma tefgħux breach. Jien għalija għandna nagħmlu l-istess ħaġa anke biex ma tużax iż-żejjed ma tużajiex fejn m'għandek bżonn, u nibgħatu kommenti biex anke ngħinu wkoll il-pożizzjoni ta' Malta li minn dejjem kienet hekk wara kollox u ngħidu sma hemm dal konsens li aħjar l-Ewropa aħjar kieku tara kif immexxuhom fuq livell globali.
Jien personalment naqbel, nisu nħoss li l-kwistjoni tal-climate change hija xi ħaġa importanti li m'għandniex nippruvawha fuq kull inizjattiva anke kien Ewropea. Però nifhem li tal-gvernu li aħjar tkun fuq il-livell globali mill-Ewropew, u naħseb għandna nikdbu f'dan is-sens, mhux għax hemm biex ta' sussidjarjetà, ma biex ngħidu li aħna waqt li naqblu ma' dal-fass nemmnu li dejja għandha tkun mhux biss inizjattiva Ewropea, imma inizjattiva globali. Għalkemm
iktar ma tagħtu sostenn lill-Gvern ta' Malta fuq din il-linja għax hija flotta tagħna u hija parti mill-interess nazzjonali ta' pajjiżna li ssir hekk.
Mala jekta blu nidrafja utra u nirbatu għal il-President Barroso.
Il-rabajtim u laħarwiħet u għabal ma mora l-rabajtim id-dajem ninsa nitlobkom il-li tiħdu pala moqrija il-minuti tal-axar laqa għalli fil-kas.
Kalla namlu fil-laqa li ġeja namlu t-nejli u fil-bidu.
Laħarajtim u il-rapport li ritnat il-kamra dwar il-komitat tal-Kunsell għal-Maltin li jiexu barra il-periodu ta' s-sena li għaddit. Dan għan nasqu l-kamra fil-kamra ġemali ġejjen. Il-rapport bat njurkom. Ma nasaġin zop naħodir għu għazak għamikum għaraħu il-membri kolla. Bat njurkom b-e-mail u xorkom il-li taqraħ. U taf kon taf li għatfu l-agenda per rispet kollu. Ġifiri, jina nitlop il-li jekkem xie kommenti namlu għamillu, ma xie dan għajkoll kif jina obbligat bil-liġi. Ġon tu taqra kommenti? Fidejk taqra?
Skont l-artiklu 7-2 tal-adwar il-Kunsill għal-Maltin li jiexu barra minn Malta, K515, nir-rapport tal-Kumitat Permanenti dwar l-affarijiet barra l-Unjoni Ewropea, iltaqna l-ħamis 12 settembru 2013 fejn kellu għad konsiderazzjoni tiegħu. Ir-rapport intitolat Bidu ġdida tal-ewwel laqam tal-Kunsill għal-Maltin li jiexu barra minn Malta li sar f'Settembru 2012 u r-rapport ippreparat minn Dr. Gejdu Paċ u approvat minn Kunsill bħala estensjoni tar-rapport intitolat Bidu ġdida. Il-Kumitat innota l-preżentazzjoni li saru mill-membri tal-Kunsill għal-Maltin li jiexu barra minn Malta dwar problemi li qed ħabtu wiċċhom magħhom il-Maltin li jiexu barra kif ukoll proposti li saru u kwistjoni prinċipali li tqajmu kienu dawn li ġejjin tagħlim tal-Malti. Il-membri tal-Kunsill qablu li għandu jkun hemm referenza aktar frekwenti għal-lingwa Maltija, speċjalment dak li għandu x'aqsam mar-regolamenti tal-Istitut Kulturali Malti għaliex din għandha sehem importanti ħafna dak li rigward it-kattir u l-promozzjoni tal-identità Maltija. Hemm tħassib dwar is-sitwazzjoni mwiegħra tat-tagħlim tal-lingwa Maltija fl-Awstralja fejn fis-sena 2012 hemm il-probabilità li ma tintlaħaqx il-kwota neċessarja ta' studenti li ser joqogħdu għall-eżamijiet tal-matrikola. Huwa utli li l-assoċjazzjoni li qegħdin jaħdmu f'dan ir-rigward ikollhom aktar aċċess għal-tagħlim tal-Malti u preżentazzjoni elettroniċi. Il-membri tal-Kunsill qablu li wasal l-iżmien li jsir sħariġ seru ta' kif jekk jistgħu jinkisbu fondi tal-Unjoni Ewropea għat-tagħlim u l-preservazzjoni tal-Malti fil-pajjiżi barra miż-żona Ewropea biex it-tagħlim tal-lingwa jsir aktar mifrud u aċċessibbli. Ismijiet fuq il-passaporti. Preokkupazzjoni oħra tal-membri tal-Kunsill kienet dwar l-ismijiet fuq il-passaporti li huma differenti minn dawk li hemm fuq id-dokumenti oħra maħruġa qabel. Dan qed iwassal biex ħafna ċittadini Maltin residenti barra ma jużawx il-passaport Malti tagħhom għaliex ikun iktar taxkil milli tajnu. L-intervett tiegħu is-sinjura tagħha sinjura Emerelda Zara, direttur tar-Reġistru Pubbliku, referit għal liġi li ġiet emendata fl-24 tal-Lulju 2012 li tgħid li jekk hija sempliċi kwistjoni ta' traduzzjoni ta' isem fuq passaport, hemm formula tista' timtella u tiġi approvata mid-direttur tar-Reġistru Pubbliku wara liġi konfermat li jkun diġà nħarreġ passaport fuq dak l-isem biex bekk jiġu simplifikati l-affarijiet. Dan jgħod biss għall-isem u mhux għall-kunjom. Bekk ikun jista' jsir bdil fl-att ta' twelid kif ukoll fatti ċivili kollha ispeċifikat mill-applikant kif fuq il-forma li jkun is-sottometta. Il-Gvern se jagħti aktar pubbliċità għal din l-emenda fil-liġi. Il-passaporti biometriċi. Jidher li bis-sistema preżenti l-applikant qed ikollu jmur l-ambaxxata partikolari fejn ħafna drab il-lokalità tkun sigħat bogħod mill-belt fejn joqgħod u l-applikant allura jinvolvi spejjeż barra. Fejn hu possibbli għandu jkun hemm l-apparat biex tkun tista' tiġi proċessata l-informazzjoni biometrika fil-konsolat. Sur Gaetano Vella, direttur tal-passaporti, qal li d-diffikultajiet li hemm bħalissa jirrigwardaw is-sigurtà tal-informazzjoni biometrika iżda d-dipartiment qiegħed fi stat avvanzat biex idaħħal il-mobile units. Health card tal-Unjoni Ewropea. Il-vantaġġ tal-healthcare card huwa li biha ċittadin ta' pajjiż tal-Unjoni Ewropea jibbenefika mill-istess servizzi jew tariffi fejn applikabbli
pa' ċittadini ta' pajjiżi oħra fl-Unjoni Ewropea dejjem jekk ħallas jew kien ħallas il-bolla tas-sigurta soċjali f'pajjiż fl-Unjoni. Dan ma jsirx l-istess neċessarjament jingħata fxejn, imma l-istess drittijiet u tariffi jkunu applikabbli għaċ-ċittadini tal-pajjiżi fejn intalab is-servizz. Karta tal-identità. Il-karta tal-identità tingħata biss lil dawk residenti f'Malta. Ġiet imresqa l-proposta li l-Maltin li jiexu barra minn Malta tinħarġilhom karta tal-identità temporanja waqt li jkunu qegħdin f'Malta. Pensjonijiet. Iċ-chairperson, jiġifieri l-Ministru għall-Affarijiet Barranin, ilu għal diversi snin jitlob sabiex tiġi iċ-ċara tal-problema fir-rigward taftejn bilaterali fuq il-kwistjoni tal-pensjonijiet bejn Malta u l-Istati Uniti tal-Amerika. Komunitajiet oħra Maltin, il-Gvern jipprova jilħaq social security agreements mal-gvern konċernat bħal per eżempju fil-każ ta' New Zealand. Għandu jkun hemm reviżjoni tal-liġijiet fiskali li jiddiskriminaw kontra l-Maltin li jgħixu barra minn Malta. Ċittadinanza. Il-membri tal-Kunsill esprimew soddisfazzjon għal progress sostanzjali li sar fil-qasam ta' ċittadinanza doppja. Mill-banda l-oħra esprimew ix-xera li jiġi mħaffef il-proċess tal-applikazzjonijiet u li ma jintalbux dokumenti darbtejn. Il-Kunsill ġie informat li dokumenti li ġew aċċertati għaskop ta' voti ta' ċittadinanza Maltija għandhom iservu bla ebda formalità oħra sabiex wieħed jakkwista passaport Malti. Saru kollha aċċenn dwar ċittadinanza għal tfal adottati. Iċ-chairperson ifisser li kif dan id-dewmien huwa dovut għal eluf ta' applikazzjoni li qed jidħlu sabiex persuni ta' diċendenza Maltija jkunu jistgħu jingħataw ċittadinanza Maltija. Però jibqa' l-fatt li għandu jsir sforz biex jitneħħal backlog. Liġijiet fuq proprjetà u suċċessjoni. Fl-interventi tagħhom diversi membri semmew ukoll il-problemi li jiffaċċjaw speċjalment fejn jidħlu kwistjonijiet ta' proprjetà, wirt u testamenti, kif ukoll tagħrif legali dwarhom. Diversi membri mmentaw li dawn ma jkollhom lil-ħadd li jinformaw fuq id-drittijiet tagħhom fil-pajjiż fejn kienu residenti u l-avukati li jsibu jkunu familjari biss mal-liġijiet ta' pajjiżhom. Ġie suġġerit li l-Gvern Malti jkattar ħafna aktar l-informazzjoni lil Maltin li jgħixu barra minn Malta dwar liġijiet Maltin u drittijiet tagħhom. Dritt tal-vot.
Sur Ridis Beġini, ta' għax l-ewwel kellna talba biex nqara rapport il-membru li għamel li talba tela, jiġifieri jiena. Le, ma affarijiet dawn x'affarijiet huma, jiena ma nistax nifhem dan l-affarijiet ta'. Prudenza almenu din. Jiena ħanressa li dar rapport jieħu bħala moqri. Jekk hawn oġġezzjoni nara. Jekk kollha tablu miegħu aħna mmexxu li dana jiġi preżentat fil-kamra fil-ġranet li ġej. Jekk hawn xi punti oħra x'nagħmlu, nagħmluhom fil-każ ta' ġurnaw dal-dilla għal data wara. Grazzi.